Welcome to Unity of Fairfax, a positive path for spiritual living and spiritual center for education, practice, and service in Northern Virginia. We hope you find inspiration in this week's message.
Thank you, Amy. Thank you, Ron. Thank you all for joining us today on this absolutely stunning autumn morning. Well, welcome to week one of our annual Unity Awakening series. This is Unity Awakening 2020. And our source material for this year's series of Sunday talks in small groups is the book, How Then Shall We Live? By Wayne Muller. Muller is an ordained Methodist minister, an author, a therapist, a founder of an incredible prophet by the name of Bread for the Journey that does grassroots philanthropy by sponsoring local and neighborhood micro grant programs that help communities take charge of their own destiny through self-empowerment. It's a beautiful, beautiful organization, and I invite you to go to their website, breadforthejourney.org, I think, and check out their powerful work. He is a graduate of the Harvard Divinity School and has served as a senior scholar at the Fetzer Institute and is extended faculty at the Institute of Noetic Sciences. Now, the subtitle of this book is Four Simple Questions That Reveal the Beauty and Meaning of Our Lives. And you know, anytime we use the word simple in a spiritual growth context, beware. I'm just saying, simple usually means not easy. But actually, let's strike that. Let's just strike that, because simple questions are easily answered when we step away from the drama of our lives. It reminds me of that old Taoist adage, muddy water, let stand, becomes clear. The reminder that when we take time out from drama, when we take time out from our busy day and the tornado of our thoughts sometimes, clarity is revealed. Stillness brings answers. Now, that clarity can come through a meditation practice. It comes from taking a shower. It comes when we're driving down the road. It happens when it happens. The important thing is that we are ready conduits for receiving the answers that we are seeking. So let's take a look at these four questions quickly. They are, who am I? What do I love? How shall I live knowing I will die? That's special. And what is my gift to the family of the earth? Well, I chose this book not only because of those four questions, but because of the timelessness of the content. And for this year, the timeliness of the content. With all that's happened this year, I don't know anyone who hasn't at some time or another asked the question, how then shall we live? So I do want to reinforce what Sam said and encourage everybody to sign up to participate in one of our small groups. It's a great way to explore these questions in that very safe and loving container. And if that's not going to work for you, but you would still like a copy of the study guide, go to the exact same place Sam described, and there is a free download. You might find it helpful as we explore together and engage the content of this year's season. But before I get into this first question, I need to set the stage in light of 2020 and the fullness of it. And I want to introduce an old Unity term called chemicalization. Now, according to the Revealing Word, which is a lexicon of terms used in the Unity movement, chemicalization is a condition in the mind that is brought about by the conflict that takes place when a high spiritual realization contacts an old error state of consciousness. And I don't know anyone who doesn't have a few old error states of consciousness. We talk about these in a variety of different ways. We sometimes call them our programming. We sometimes call them the old tapes in the back of our mind. We sometimes call it cultural conditioning. It goes by a lot of names, but let me tell you, you know it when that sort of conflict happens, when that contact happens between the old and the new. Now, the Revealing Word goes on to say that the mind of man, and this would include woman, is constantly at work. And this work results in the production of thought forms. These thought forms assume individual definiteness. They take on personality, which works out in the body. Whenever a new spiritual idea is introduced into the mind, some negative belief is disturbed. It resists. With this resistance comes more or less commotion in the consciousness. And I don't know anybody who hasn't experienced some commotion in consciousness, whether sparked by something in the outer world or in the inner world. With this resistance comes more or less commotion. That's right. It was so good, I had to say it again. This is called chemicalization, this commotion. And this can be greatly modified or eliminated by putting the mind in divine order through denial. Now, denial in this instance is in the sense of releasing or letting go of the old, not simply sticking one's head in the sand and acting as if facts don't matter. Now, in the theology of unity and new thought, the teaching is focused on consciousness, individual and collective. We teach, we believe, and we intuitively know not only that thoughts are things, but that thoughts have power. Every individual is a power center. Our thoughts are powerful, our prayers are powerful, our words are powerful. And that's all before any outward action is taken. The energy of our being, the energy of our consciousness, then, impacts everyone and everything around us. Individually, we use the power of our hearts and our minds to construct our individual consciousness. And here's an interesting part that I think you should know. In biblical Hebrew, the word for heart and mind is the same. We might say that our consciousness then is the result of the merger and the combination of our thoughts and our feelings. And so with our thoughts, with our feelings, we are creating our individual consciousness. Now think of it in terms of each one of us being a solar cell on a solar panel. One solar cell can generate power, but many put together creates tremendous power. Now, I'm not going to talk about solar power. That's a different talk for a different day. But that's how collective consciousness works. Groups of people come together, merging their similar thoughts and feelings, and a collective consciousness of a community, a country, a world is established. Now, collective consciousness, just like our own individual consciousness, can manifest in both awesome and, yes, awful ways. So our fall series here at Unity of Fairfax is entitled Unity Awakening. And the name comes from the fact that the word awakening or awaken appears in both our vision and mission statements here. Let's take a quick look at these once more. Our vision statement says, centered in divine love, we honor and celebrate a world awakened to peace, abundance, and respect for all creation. And our mission statement, how we actually make that a reality, is that we are a vibrant spiritual community awakening each life to the Christ within. Kind of makes me think we are a spiritual alarm clock. Bzz, bzz, and there is no snooze button. So how does it feel to wake up, literally and figuratively? Well, I, for one, am not necessarily a good sleeper. And waking up for me is, well, I'll put it to you this way. When we have guests staying over, I tell them, do not talk to me for the first 30 minutes. I try to be nice about it, but that's just how it needs to be. I hope that when you wake up, you feel chipper and swell. I want to get there myself someday. I'm in the process of it. But what about that other waking up? Not always so easy, is it? Awakening spiritually is often troubling, challenging, sometimes depressing. However, when you get to it, when you get to your next stage, it's liberating and amazing and joyful. And you go, whew, I am so glad I have moved through that experience. But it often means releasing long-held and long-cherished attitudes and beliefs, It means learning to see, that is, perceive and realize in a new way. It means unlearning and then relearning new things. Simple. Not always so easy. So do you want peace and do you want a respect and do you want abundance for all creation? I know I do. I want it for myself too. But when these ideas take root in the individual mind and the collective mind, there often is a chemicalization process in all of its unvarnished rawness. The paradigms, practices, fears, beliefs, anxieties, all of them have to be, that created the experience we want to emerge from, have to be routed out from their entrenched positions to make room for the new. In the book of Mark, we see Jesus addressing this very topic. He says simply, "No one sews a piece of unshrunk cloth onto an old cloak. Otherwise, the patch pulls away from it, the new from the old, and a worse tear is made. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins. The wine will burst the skins, and the wine is lost, and so are the skins. But one puts new wine into fresh wineskins." So here it is, 2020. And the year has not turned out as any of us could have imagined. How then shall we live? My answer, I choose to live with faith. I choose to live with the understanding that my idea of God is much bigger than my experience of the day, much bigger than any facts. So chemicalization on the collective level helps me to understand not only what is happening in the world today, but it allows me to intuit a why, a what, and a why. So civil unrest and climate change and pandemics and systemic racism, all of these things can be explained in way of chemicalization. That's the what. Now, none of these things, and countless of other challenges, is new. However, I choose to believe, and invite you as well, to know that we are now at a critical level of collective consciousness that has enabled these conditions that we are now experiencing so that we can break through them to that new and glorious day that we are all working towards. You know, for generations, countless communities and individuals have been holding a vision similar to ours of peace, abundance, and respect for all creation. Or maybe holding the vision of the self-evident truths that all men are created equal. We're in the process of bringing that into manifestation, all of those wonderful high ideals. And I remember something that Albert Einstein said, which is a bit of an old wineskin for me. Not a very cheery thought, but I'm going to share it with you anyway. He is credited as saying, three great forces rule the world. Stupidity, fear, and greed. We don't talk about these things a lot at Unity. But I wanted to address them for just a moment, for I think they provide somewhat of an old wineskin for this analogy. These are components of that old wineskin. The new wine of peace, abundance, and respect for all creation can't be put into that old wineskin. It doesn't fit. But these three will definitely push back in the collective, just as the personality or the ego self would push back in any effort to free oneself from an unhealthy habit, an addiction, an unhealthy relationship. I mean, think about it for yourself as an individual. When you've tried to put into play a new habit, a new way of being, a healthy relationship, struggle against your past, there is chemicalization. So we shouldn't be surprised that it happens in the individual as well as the collective levels. So all that being said, I haven't really yet addressed that first question of who am I? Because in my discernment of this topic, I thought it was appropriate to provide a context for this particular study in these peculiar times in which we find ourselves. But peculiar doesn't have to mean bad. It means we're growing, we're becoming, we're evolving, we're moving forward in our progression in demonstrating Christ consciousness, in demonstrating peace, abundance, and respect for all creation, in healing ourselves and those attitudes and paradigms that might be getting in the way. But we have to bring them all up to the surface. Because what you can reveal and feel, you can heal. It's on the individual level, it's on the collective level. So I, like I said, choose to believe we're on the verge, then we are of a breakthrough, and we are in the process of doing great work. And it requires a lot of us. But remember, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. There is a power and a presence inside each and every one of us, a reservoir of strength that is unlimited, a reservoir of power that cannot be diminished by any facts. That's why we come together as a community to remind ourselves of that, to remind ourselves of the inherent goodness in the world, because the stupidity and fear and greed, those are not permanent. We may experience them. We certainly see them when we see them. We're bigger than that. We're better than that. We're moving on to the promised land. And that's really where I want to end this morning, because I want to share with you a little bit from the scriptures about somebody who had this awakening of who am I and what am I to do. We see in the book of Joshua, in the Hebrew scriptures, a conversation between God and Joshua himself. You see, in that story of the Exodus, Moses was called to lead the enslaved Israelites out of bondage and to the promised land, but he was not called to lead them into the promised land. That wasn't his to do. It was somebody else's to do. And I wonder, as I think about that Exodus journey, how many times the Israelites raised the question, how then shall we live? It was a long, arduous trek. Kind of feels like 2020 in a nutshell. But they survived as a people. And so Joshua emerged as a new leader, and he's having to identify himself as that leader, no longer the assistant, and answer the question, who am I? So the words I'm about to read are attributed to God. And I wager that these same sort of words are being spoken now to each one of us in the confines of our own collective individual consciousness, in the confines of our own heart. And they go like this. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, "My servant Moses is dead. Now proceed to cross the Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I am giving them to the Israelites. Every place that the sole of your feet will tread upon, I have given to you as I promised to Moses. From the wilderness and the Lebanon as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites to the great sea in the west shall be your territory. No one shall be able to stand against you. I will not fail or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall put this people in possession of the land that I swore to their ancestors to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to act in accordance with all the law that my servant Moses commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, so that you may be successful wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. You shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to act in accordance with all that is written in it. For you shall make your way prosperous, and then you shall be successful. I hereby command you, be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. So today I invite each one of us, when we meditate on the question, who am I? To allow these words to be your words. I am strong and courageous. I am not frightened or dismayed, for the Lord my God is with me wherever I go. I'm strong and courageous. I am not frightened or dismayed, for that living spirit of truth is not only with me, it's within me, and not only within me, it is the truth of who I am. It is the truth of who you are. We shall live confidently, courageously, powerfully, and lovingly. That is how we shall live. We'll pick up again next week. Peace be with you and namaste.
Thank you for tuning into Unity of Fairfax podcast. You're welcome to join us live in Oakton, Virginia, every Sunday at 9 and 11 a.m. or view our live stream services from our website at unityoffairfax.org. We appreciate your donations to support this podcast to make our message of positive, practical spirituality more accessible to all. See you next time.